Did you know that you could be an equine anesthetist? I can barely say the word, so I don't think it's in my future, but today's guest walks us through how she stumbled upon this amazing career that she's built. She is truly thriving. So let's grow with Kat Butler today. Welcome to the Thriving Equine Professional, the podcast to grow you. Are you wondering how to make connections to build your career in the equine industry? Not sure where to look for the support you'll need to land a dream job? Maybe you're feeling frustrated or stuck where you are. Hey, I'm Jody. I was that girl with no clue how to navigate landing a great career in animal health, but I knew this is where I wanted to be. I look back and cannot believe the roles I've landed and the people I call friends. Inside this podcast, you will meet key connections, build your career confidence, and find the advice you may not know you need. So if you're ready to grow your career and thrive in a job that you are passionate about, you're in the right place. Get the ponies fed and fill those water buckets. It's time to grow, girl. Welcome back, Thrivers. We have another amazing episode for you today. Guys, this is really a fun one. And I have to tell you, because I always start by saying, okay, this is how we know each other on a guest episode. And I'm going to be really honest with you. Our guest today, Kat Butler, I just met her yesterday and we had a phone call. So here we are. We're on Zoom. You can't see us, but we are seeing each other really for the first time. And so I love how those connections come together. That's how we're meant to do life. And you know that I feel that way. So on this happy Thursday, first Thursday of March, because last week was the 29th of February. So here we are. And I am so excited to share Kat's story with you, because it really honestly was a phone call that she reached out to me about our Next Gen Equine Vet Med events that are coming up. And by the end of the conversation, I was like, Kat, I really want you to be a guest on the Thriving Equine Professional. Our thrivers need to hear your story. And so she agreed, and here we are recording the very next day. So Kat Butler, welcome to the Thriving Equine Professional. I am so thrilled to have you and to get to share some of your really awesome story.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Jody. You said it spot on. It really transpired pretty quickly, and I can't be more excited to be here talking to you and having your listeners hear my story, because I love to share it and hope that someone else who was maybe in my shoes 5, 10 years ago can navigate this space like I did, maybe a little bit quicker and a little bit more efficiently. But I definitely learned some cool stuff along the way, and I'm excited to share that today.
Yeah, that's amazing. And that's just it, Kat, right? Hindsight is 2020. And so we often look back and say, yeah, I really want to be able to share some of the challenges that I overcame and the journey that I went through. But it also leads to one of the pieces of advice that I really repeat often, especially to our younger listeners that are maybe facing that student to professional transition and making decisions about what career choice they're going to make, and they have this passion for equine. My advice always is find those people that are at least 5, if not 10+ years ahead of you, doing things you are interested in doing and working for companies, organizations, and brands that you are interested in learning more about. Those are the people that are really going to carry us forward. And so I'm so excited that you said that first off. But let's start at the beginning, Kat. Take us to, how did this love and passion for horses come about? Like, where did Kat start?
Yeah, so I guess taking it way back to the beginning, when I was a little girl, you know, my parents put me in riding lessons, and I didn't come from a horsey background. My parents weren't horse people. We didn't have a farm. We were more city folk, but I loved animals. I was that kid that was like bringing home a stray cat and hiding in my closet. And so riding lessons was just kind of part of that. I didn't do it consistently. I kind of did it for a couple of years, and then, you know, life happens and it just didn't carry through. So I actually really started my career with horses in my adult life. So in high school, I didn't know what I wanted to do. I applied to like one college, didn't get in. So I took a couple years off, and I worked in restaurants. I was a waitress for a while. And then in my 20s, I went back to community college and kind of dabbled in different things I was interested in. And science was really clicking for me. And so then I was like, you know what? I like animals. I like science. So I took an animal science class and man, I was hooked. I loved it. And then I joined my community college's writing team through IHSA, and I wrote on their Western Pleasure team. And then it just was like, this is what I want to do. So I became a working student. I switched to my associates was in just general science, but it was all animal science focused. And then I fast tracked to transferring to the University of Illinois, where I graduated with my bachelor's degree in animal science with a concentration in equine science. During that time, I still rode for the IHSA team, and I was a working student for my coach. I did an internship with stallions. So I collected and processed semen for cooled shipping for standard bred. So that was super cool. So really anywhere that I could spend my time with horses, I was like, yes, that's what I'm doing.
Right. Yeah, that sounds amazing. And fellow IHSA are here. I was at Western Kentucky University on the intercollegiate team. So I think, again, just such a cool experience, not only for the skills that you learn and the writing that you get to do, but for the connections that you make. So got to give a shout out there to the IHSA for sure for some of those. So you took a few years off. And I think, you know, our listeners love to hear some of that because we have so much interest in what do I do? And I know that one of the things that resonated me in our conversation yesterday is that you like to say that not all paths look the same, and it is okay to kind of change your plan as you go. And so you went to college or dabbled in college and didn't know exactly. And here you are, you know, maybe a decade later, right? And you are thriving as an anesthetist. Okay. I almost said that word correctly that time. And Kat, I said from the beginning, I will say it one time that you are an anesthetist. Oopsie, I see. I put an extra S in it.
There's a lot of vowels in there. It's a tough word. Anesthetist. Yeah.
That one. So, but you know, like you've had quite a journey to bring you to that point. So your collegiate career was maybe non-traditional by a couple of years. And then tell us then, you know, what was next as you came out of that bachelor's degree and how you've made the journey from there to here.
Yeah. So I went to school in Illinois, and then he was my boyfriend at the time. We're now married. He wanted to move back. I'm from California, and he wanted to move to California. And so I said, okay, let's go do that. So we moved to California after I graduated, and I ended up getting a job at a small animal kennel. So I was at a boarding facility for dogs and cats, and I was an assistant manager there for a couple of years. And then I was like, you know what? I don't really love this anymore. So then I went and worked at a holistic pet food or holistic pet store company. Really, they sold a lot of variety of holistic pet foods. And so I got educated on that, became really passionate about it. And then was like, you know what? I didn't get a degree in equine science to work in small animal. So my husband and I, we got engaged while we were in San Diego. And I was like, okay, now we're talking about starting a life, starting a family. I want to be with horses. Where do we go? And we talked about a lot of different places, and we landed on Lexington because it's fairly close to Illinois where he's from. And I have family there as well. So it kind of just made sense to be here. So we moved sight unseen to Lexington. He had a remote job, so he was able to move kind of wherever. I had no job. I just moved and said, I need to be close to horses. And what better place to be than Lexington, Kentucky for that? So I interviewed with a few different places, and I ended up working for like 2 weeks as a foal and broodmare groom. And I very quickly realized I didn't want to do that. It's not the labor. It was just not what I thought it was going to be. And it was my first time working with thoroughbreds, which was a big change for me. And I was like, whoa, I don't think this is what I want.
Right. How important are those lessons along the way? You know, again, I don't want to just skim over that experience because we learn so much by learning, not just what we do want to do, but so much from learning and making experiences and that end up being not what we want to do. And that's okay. We don't have to do what anyone else does. So I love that you share that.
Yeah, so it was only 2 weeks, but I learned so much in those 2 weeks. I mean, I got to work with amazing other grooms and some great horses, and I was like, this isn't what I thought it was going to be. And then I realized the path to get to being, I thought I wanted to be a broodmare manager, and I realized that the path to there wasn't what I really thought it was going to be. And I just didn't want to venture into that. And so I had to redirect, and that was really hard. I questioned, why did we move here? What am I doing? What am I doing with my life here? And so I kept applying for places, and I applied to one of the largest and busiest clinics in the area. And actually, my first interview with them, I didn't get the position. And I again was back to like, wow, what am I doing? I applied for a different position with them, and I ended up placing in their surgery barn to do second shift as a barn technician. And I had never done veterinary med. I didn't think I wanted anything to do with vet med, but it was a job with horses. And I was like, it's something. And I very quickly was like, I love this. I loved the emergency cases, the thrill and the excitement and the scary and all the emotions that go into it. It really reminded me of why I want to work with horses.
I love that word, the why. When we figure out our why, when we have those aha moments of this is where I'm meant to be, when I'm meant to be there, doing what I'm meant to do, right? And we don't appreciate those moments unless we've had the challenging moments of what am I doing and why am I here? And, like missing that. And then all of a sudden we have those moments, like the fact that you absolutely loved emergencies on second shift. Praise you.
Yeah, and I had the opportunity to actually tech in surgeries on those overnight cases. So I got to be in the OR, I got to see surgery happening, and I was like, whoa, I love this. This is so cool. Scary, absolutely, and very intense, but I loved it. And so I had the opportunity to interview working as a surgery technician on their day shift. So just being there during the day for normal electives and also emergencies, but switching from the barn to being actually like in surgery full time. And during that interview process, the lead technician, she was like, well, what do you think about anesthesia? And I was like, I know nothing, but I love to learn. So like, put me in. And they did. Yep. And they did. They said, okay, great. You want to learn? You're going to learn it. And within like 2 months, I learned how to, one, be a surgery technician in a super busy hospital. I mean, we're talking like 40 to 50 horses in and out those doors every day, and working with seven of just the most amazing surgeons and support staff as well. I got to learn so much in a very short period of time. And from there, I worked in that clinic for 2 years, and I got to work cases from electives to very healthy animals to not so healthy animals, dystocias and colics and sick foals. And I got to see and do a lot of really cool stuff. So in 2 years, I feel like my tool belt expanded immensely.
Right. And I always just have such admiration for those of you who do run anesthesia. And so, Kat, you said you learned not only to become a technician, but also you were very specifically being trained for anesthesia. So, talk about that. Was it primarily at that point in time on the job training? Were you taking any other specific training at that time? How did that all work then?
Yeah, so back then it was 100% on the job training. Everything I learned from, they did have an anesthesiologist come in for lectures and doing kind of side by side training. I learned from the interns who had been doing it for a year. I learned from some other experienced technicians who had done anesthesia at other places. So it was really a collaborative effort on their part to teach me and to teach me quickly, because we were very quickly entering into a busy season where they needed all the help I could give. So it was very an escalated, like, here's the basics, just go and do it. And while that is stressful way to go about it, I survived. And here I am coming into my fourth year and have a lot of passion for it. So.
Yeah, and I can feel the passion for it. And I think that is really the gift here, especially for our listeners. You would not have known that. You did not get out of high school or even college saying, I want to be an equine anesthetist. That, you know, like we don't have that clarity most of the time. Some people do, but most of us do not have that kind of clarity until we are moving through the early years of our career.
Yeah, absolutely. If I had never stepped foot in an equine OR before this moment in my life, and if you had come to me when I was in college or in high school and been like, hey, do you want to be an equine anesthetist? I would have been like, a what? That sounds crazy. That sounds one, unobtainable. And two, like, I wouldn't even know where to start. And so it was kind of trial by fire. I learned it quick and I fell in love with it. And that's why I'm so passionate about sharing my story, because there maybe is somebody in college right now who is like, wait, you said you could do anesthesia on horses and you don't have to be a doctor for that. Like, yeah, it's out there and it's a cool job.
Yes. So you and I really connected at this point in our conversation, Kat, about now the training that you continue to pursue education. And so talk to us about, and I heard that yesterday and I hear it from you today, that education is just foundational to your approach and why you love to share. Not only do you love to learn, but you also love to teach. And I even heard you say you aspire to be more of an educator moving forward. So let's talk through the now in your life and what you are pursuing educationally.
Yeah. So right now I actually am coming into my second year with a new clinic. So one of the surgeons from my previous clinic moved over to his own space and I followed and I became their lead anesthetist. So as we get in new technicians who are interested in learning, we get in some interns who have no experience. I kind of take them under my wing and I teach them everything that I have learned, little crash course in anesthesia. And I love teaching and sharing that with them. But now I'm ready to kind of step up my game, because it's, especially in the veterinary medicine, but anesthesia as well, there's always new things to learn. There's a different way of doing things, and there's always a better way of doing things. And I'm all about doing what's best for the patients and like running the best anesthesia that I can and providing the best care. And in order to do that, I've started doing continued education with AAEBT, so the American Association of Equine Technicians and Assistants. It's a mouthful, but they offer some really great programs and they have an anesthesia society. And I did one CE with them like a week ago and I was like, wait, this is awesome. And so right now I'm working on getting certified with them. So I'll be able to be an instructor with them if I'm able to complete this certification. So I'm really excited about that fact.
Yeah. When, not if, Kat, it's when you get that, right? And I was, when you mentioned that with the AAEVT, especially, that I was going to ask if you were just at that recent training, because I follow that organization, absolutely love them. I had Deb Reeder on as one of my early guests. You know, she's the founder of AAEVT. And so just such a tremendous organization, so focused on education. So I will give a shout out to the American Association of Equine Technicians and Assistants, as you said, and I will, if our listeners are not a part of that organization or at least following them on social, I would encourage you to do so, because get that membership in. It pays dividends in your opportunities to learn and connect with others, and really worth your time, energy, and investment for that, for sure. So talk to us a little bit then, Kat, because we are in a time within equine veterinary medicine, especially, where there's a lot of discussion about being a certified veterinary technician or licensed or registered, depending on what state you're in. And so you're pursuing this licensure that is specific to anesthesia. So talk to us a little bit about kind of how you see the industry going forward and why this is important.
Yeah. So coming from a background where I didn't go to tech school, right? I went and got a bachelor's degree. It is in equine science, but I didn't think I wanted to be a tech. So I didn't take that path. And so fortunately, the state of Kentucky right now, you don't have to be licensed to work as a technician. So I have had the opportunity to get all of my training on the job here. And it's kind of gotten me to a point where I'm like, okay, now I want to take the next steps. I want to show that I am capable and qualified in not just the work that I do on day to day, but like on paper, where people are like, okay, you have what it takes, you've put in the hours, and you are qualified to do these things. Like for the certification through AAEVT, you have to have like 2,000 hours of anesthesia to even apply, which sounds like a lot. But when you work in such a busy area and you're doing so many surgeries a day, it's pretty easy to obtain that. Other places in the US may only do 2 or 3 surgeries a day, where we see like 20 surgeries a day just with one doctor. And so the time I spend in anesthesia, I was able to get those hours pretty quickly and all of my other tech skills. So while I have no formal training, I have a lot of hours under my belt. And so, yeah, working on this anesthesia certification. And then I'm also trying to get my license. There are a couple of states that offer you're able to take the test without having graduated from an accredited tech school. So you have to have like 2 years of training underneath a licensed veterinarian, and they have to like go to bat for you and say, yeah, they have all these technical skills. So that's what I'm kind of working on right now as well.
Okay. You have a lot of balls in the air, and so you have a test coming up, right? Did you say that you've got one of these certifications that are coming up here in the next couple of months?
Yeah. So the next, it's the National Vet Tech Exam, and that's the exam that everyone who is going to be a licensed tech, doesn't matter what state you're in, you have to pass this test, and they have windows. So in this summer, I'm going to do my first attempt, hopefully only attempt, to pass this exam, and then I'll be able to be licensed.
Yeah, that is awesome. And I wanted to make sure that our listeners hear that, right? Because again, there's just a lot of conversations in and around the industry. And when it comes to being a licensed or certified or registered technician, I want them to hear some of these stories from those of you that have navigated it in one way or another. So good luck to you. We will be cheering for you as you prepare to take that test. I know that that is no simple undertaking, and it will require a lot of time and probably a little bit of studying.
Little bit, yeah, especially in the small animal realm, because it does cover a lot of small animal, and I'm mostly equine, so definitely going to have to brush up on my small animal stuff.
Okay, I have heard those comments before, and at least you were in and around small animals some, but I think that it speaks to each of our specializations. No matter what we do, I will always, as I say, speak horse, and as I've spent 20 years in the industry, you can put me with the small animal side of animal health, but it's not quite the same energy as being with my equine peeps. That's always going to be my preference. I'm just crazy enough to be the crazy horse girl. And while I am a crazy dog mom also, I do have that preference for my segment to be in equine.
Yeah, it's the space I love to work in, but I do love small animals. I have 2 dogs of my own. I've got 2 cats and I have 2 fish. So I've got a little small animal zoo at home. And then I also have a horse of my own. So it's not, you know, my passion's not just in my workspace, but it's also in my regular life too, as many of us do. So
now I always have to ask, Kat, you're fairly recently married. Now, did your husband marry into a crazy animal, or did he come as a crazy animal lover as well?
So he's the cat guy, and then I'm the crazy dog girl. So we kind of came together, and I don't think he really realized how crazy it was going to get when he signed on for this. But we started dating when I was in college, and he knew I was going for my animal science degree. So I think there was some flags there. I'd like to think that they're green flags.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. At least some acknowledgement, right?
Yes.
So when we really kind of talk about, you know, what you just mentioned, you alluded to what I consider to be life balance. And that is that you are working in a busy clinic, you are a wife, you're a dog mom and kind of a zookeeper and all of these things among every other role that we have. My listeners know this about me by now, my regular listeners, that I hate the word or the term work-life balance, because I think it really kind of makes it combative. that our work is part of our life. So it to me is just simply life balance. And whatever role we have as a job or career and the other roles in our lives, you know, as I always like to say, I too am an above average wife and an exceptional dog mom and a cool aunt and whatever other roles. But what advice do you have there, Kat? You know, as you have a really demanding career and you are also taking the time to study and pursue additional education and certifications and all of these other roles in your life. And so because we like to pour into those coming up behind us, what would you share as your advice for life balance?
Yeah. So for life balance, I would say you really hit it the nail on the head there when you talked about work is a part of our life. And so I think it's really important to one, do something that you love, and two, work with people that you love. I'm really fortunate that the team of people I work with, I also consider them my friends. We can lean on each other when it's a stressful day. We can talk about personal things that are stressing us out, and we can feel comfortable going to work and happy to go to work. I think that's a really important part. So building a good team and having good people surround you is so important within the workspace. And then outside of the workspace, I'm all about self-care, self-love. It starts with the simple things like saying good things about yourself. We can all be our own worst critics, and it's really easy for us to start talking negative about ourselves, but it's so important to uplift yourself and to find time for things that you love, whether it's reading or riding your horse or petting your dog or taking a walk. Do those things. Find that time. Don't feel like you have to always be bogged down by work, 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 work. Like, take that time to just step away and do something that you love. And for me, you know, it is a lot of horse stuff and a lot of animal stuff is what makes me happy, which is why I love my job so much, because it brings all of that together and it adds to my excitement of life. So it's not a work-life balance, because they are so melded together, and it's what I love so much about it.
Oh, I love that. So much wisdom in what you share. And we are in a place where there's so much gray area, and it's hard to oftentimes separate. The to-do list will never stop. The pressure isn't going to stop. We live in a hustle culture that has high demands for doing more and getting more done and less time and becoming, you know, more efficient. Where, to your point, I love that you are leading with self-care. And those words of affirmation you just said, it starts with how you speak to yourself. And boy, that's a message that can be really repeated. So Thrivers, there's the wisdom of the day, is really kind of starting your day with nice, kind words to yourself and to others.
Yeah, it goes a long way. It goes a long way to be nice to yourself and then nice to others.
Yeah, it totally changes your frame of mind. It, you know, it really does. And so you mentioned your horse. So tell us, it's a squirrel moment. I'm like, you haven't talked about your horse. Tell us about your horse.
Yeah. So his name is Ice. He's a 20-year-old Dutch warm blood harness cross. So he's a big boy. He's like 17'2", 1400 pounds. And he's just the best horse. He's such a good guy. He saves my butt all the time. I mentioned that I started in Western Pleasure, but you know, my coach was an eventer. So she was like putting me in an English saddle, like, here you go, learn it. And I fell in love with English riding. So I do a little bit of dressage and jumpers and kind of just fun. And that's one of the other things when I thought about it after we had talked about the life balance, is do things that you like. Like, we do it because we have fun. Sometimes horses can be really stressful, even though it's my hobby. I'm like, oh, this is so frustrating. But I have to step back and remember, like, I enjoy this. Like, I do this for fun. So, but yeah, he's just a great guy. He, you know, he's 20, he's older, but he's in great shape. And we go out and we just go to little local shows and have a good time. And yeah, I'm very blessed to have him. I've owned him for 3.5 years now.
Okay. That's awesome. I love that. I too started my life, as I often will say, I love to run fast and jump high. I did some low-level eventing growing up, and that was my first love. So I love that. We'll have to make sure that we share a picture of you and ice when we publish this episode.
Yeah, for sure. I'll get one over to you.
Now, Kat, the other question that I always like to ask as we kind of wrap up here, what is one book or podcast that you would recommend to our listeners and why?
Yeah, so one of the podcasts, it was recommended from a friend a couple of years ago, and I listened to it a lot. It's The Feed Room Chemist. It's all about equine nutrition. It's hosted by Dr. Jamie Nichols, and she covers all aspects of equine nutrition, from hoof health to mare health to gut health. Like, there's just, she has almost like 200 episodes, I think, and every episode deep dives into some facet of equine nutrition. And it's just so interesting because we don't have all the answers for horses, and there's a million puzzle pieces that go into it, and she really helps explain those in detail. So I really love that podcast.
That's awesome. That's one that I have not listened to. So I will be pulling that up for sure. Now, Kat, let's talk about back to the beginning. You called me because you saw the information for Next Gen Equine Vet Med, the events that we have coming up. And so that was the beginning of our conversation yesterday. But you called me because you wanted to be a part of that, which I'm so excited about. And so now those attendees are going to get to hear from you for the Lexington program on Saturday, April 6th. So give us a little bit of, you know, what made you reach out to me and say, hey, I want to be a part of this.
Yeah. So I was just scrolling on Facebook and the ad for Next Gen popped up, and I was reading the description for it. And I was like, this is one of the things I really like to do, is share my story and kind of help people grow and watch them gain that confidence through education. And I was like, this sounds like it would be a really good fit for me. So I took the bold step and just reached out, and I was like, well, maybe she's going to think my story is crazy and she doesn't want to hear it. But obviously it's turned into this. So people are interested, which is great.
Yes, absolutely. And I wanted you to share that with our listeners, because not only do we have you here talking about your story today, but we are going to include you in the program for Next Gen Equine Vet Med, because you and I have that same opinion, that same passion to say, we are going to have a room full of undergraduate students who have an interest and a passion around equine. Whether they choose to pursue veterinary medicine as a DVM, whether they pursue perhaps a PhD or a bachelor's and want to be a technician or a lead anesthetist. I kept saying I wasn't going to say it anymore, but there I go. But there are so many careers, and that's what you and I started talking about, was how much we just don't know is out there. And until we are really focused on connecting, because that's, for me, what it's all about. It's clarity in the opportunities moving forward in your journey. It is confidence and courage to do hard things and challenge yourself through education and opportunities. And thirdly, it is connections, connections, connections. And if you are able to come to a program like that and find people like a Kat Butler who are saying, okay, here's my advice, here's my story, and here's what I love to do, then you are giving those young people the confidence and courage to pursue their own journey. And so again, I can't celebrate your approach and your passion and your energy enough. And we are so excited to be putting these three Next Gen Equine Vet Med events on the calendar, and they're coming very quickly. So listeners, be reminded, if you're not registered or participating, we will be in Texas at Tarleton State on Saturday, March 23rd. We will be in Lexington, Kentucky, Saturday, April 6th, and we will be in West Virginia, Saturday, April 20th. And if you want any information or need to reach me, just head on over to my website at www.jodispeakslife.com. It's J-O-D-I speakslife.com. And check out all those details. Undergraduate students, you can get registered there. And for anyone else who wants more information or more details, certainly just reach out anytime. So that's the purpose of those events, is again, clarity, confidence, community. And we are putting together some really cool agendas. So we've got some veterinarians that are local to each of the three locations that are going to be on a panel. We are going to have representatives from some of the colleges, Lincoln Memorial, Auburn, Texas Tech and things like that to answer admissions questions and applications and interviews. And then, of course, much like Kat, we will have at least one technician on each of the programs to talk about their journey and all that they've been able to do and accomplish in their career. So that's my plug for Next Gen Equine Vet Med. And with that, Kat, what else do you want to share with our listeners? Anything else that you would say to thriving young equine passionistas out there? What would be your words of wisdom?
Oh, just stay hungry. It's quick. You're quick to kind of lose that in the hustle, like you had mentioned, but stay hungry. There's always more to learn. There's always new people to meet. There's always different avenues to take. Even though if you're like, oh, I'm just a tech. You're not just a tech. The vets couldn't do what they do, the life-saving work that they do, without the support of the tech. So every single person is important, and you're making a difference in these horses' lives. And do the best you can. Provide the best care and just give it your all. It's scary, but like, it's very rewarding. So like, just stay hungry.
Yes. Okay. What a place to end. I mean, stay hungry. I love that. Kat, I can't thank you enough for being here, for jumping on. This was so fun just to be able to connect. And then within a day, just say, hey, we're recording this podcast because timing is everything. And so our connection was divine, and certainly just happy to be connected with you. And then the next step is we'll meet in person and you're going to be a part of Next Gen.
Yeah, I'm super excited.
Yeah. So thank you, and Thrivers, have an amazing day. We will see you back here next week, same time. Cheers. Hey, Thriver. I hope this episode inspired and empowered you to keep growing. If so, I'd be so grateful if you hit that share button and send it to your tribe so they can thrive too. And while you're there, please leave me a rating and review on Apple Podcasts so everyone can find the show. I love to know what keeps you listening, especially if I'm at the barn with you. I'll meet you back here, same time next week. Cheers, Jody.